Isn't it wonderful to have a wonderful Savior? We're so thankful for Alan leading us in those very upbeat songs, and we appreciate your attendance here this morning. We do have several visitors, and we thank you for being here. Hope that you'll come and be with us again. So good to see Claudia back. She's been absent for several weeks after knee surgery, and she's doing very, very well. It's also good to see ML back, and good to have him back with us again. Alan and Susan will be leaving Friday, I believe it is, to go on a riverboat cruise, and we hope that this one is better than the last one that they went on, in which they had a fire take place on that one some, what, 20 years ago, I think it was?
Yeah, 10 years.
Okay, 10 years ago. But we hope that they'll have a joyous time and come back safely to us again. Dr. Gerald Jampolsky is a noted author and educator. He had the privilege of hearing Mother Teresa speak. And of course, we know many of the good things that she's done, even though we don't agree with her doctrine. But he was enamored by her personality, message, and life. And he asked her if she would permit him to accompany her to her next speaking engagement. He hoped that his association with her would help to discover greater peace and greater happiness. And she told him to call the airline, determine how much the ticket would cost, and then give that amount of money to the poor. She said that he would have a better chance of finding peace and happiness by helping others rather than by listening to her speak. May we never forget our primary purpose here on this earth, to seek after Jesus with all of our being. Our real joy should be in doing what Jesus did and what he told us to do in order to discover genuine peace and happiness. We're going to be looking at John, the 6th chapter, beginning in verse 26 this morning. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal." Therefore they said to him, "What shall we do so that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What then do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform?" "Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, always give us this bread." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. In the previous chapter, Jesus had just performed an amazing miracle. He fed a large multitude of people, we're told, 5,000 men. Certainly there were women and children there as well. So there was a very large multitude. And he fed them from only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there were plenty of leftovers. We're told that there were 12 full baskets of leftovers. The multitude was so excited that they tried to forcefully make him their king. And when Jesus attempted to escape the mob by retreating to the opposite side of the Sea of Galilee, they followed him like lost sheep. They were an excited and enthusiastic and large crowd. But Jesus expressed concern because they were motivated by crass materialism. They were not following Jesus because they had hungry souls which longed to be satisfied, but because their hungry stomachs had been filled and they would need to be filled again. Jesus totally ignored their question from verse 25. And he did the unthinkable for many of today's preachers as well as politicians. He immediately addressed the core problem. He rebuked the crowd. He told them that it wasn't enough to seek him, but they must seek him for the correct reasons. Our egocentric society is turned off by the gospel of commitment and sacrifice. People want to hear the gospel of success. Come to Jesus and get rich. Come to Jesus and have your every wish fulfilled. Come to Jesus and have all of your problems resolved. This feel-good religion doesn't tolerate commands, laws, or negative preaching in any form or fashion. There is a great chasm dividing the Jesus fashioned by American culture and the Jesus of the inspired scriptures. People want to belong to the light church, less filling, less demanding, token commitments, and once a week religion, but only if that is convenient. But our Lord will never be pleased with people who seek him on their own terms and for purely selfish reasons. We must seek Jesus for the right reasons. The people ask, what should we do that we may work the works of God? They likely had the preconceived idea that there was some righteous deed they could do in order to gain the pleasure of God. And yet we know that there is nothing that we can do, one righteous deed or a million righteous deeds, to earn our salvation. Our salvation comes through the grace of God, through our faith in that grace, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, not by some wonderful work that we have done. Or it is possible that they were curious as to how little they could do and remain in good standing with God. Just squeak in to the doors of heaven and escape the doors of hell. But Jesus responded with a simple statement. Yet a simple statement that had profound meaning. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Our usual reaction to Jesus' statement is to prepare a defense against the faith-only proponents. And certainly we know from Scripture that there is more to our salvation than just the faith. The faith works into the great works that God has developed for us. But he says the work of God is to believe in the Christ whom he has sent. That's where it all starts, and that's where it all ends. To believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that he came to save us from our sins, and that we must put our complete faith and trust in him for salvation. Remember, though, that they had just witnessed a great miracle that demonstrated the very power and divinity of our Lord. They had been among those 5,000 men who had been fed by Jesus in a miraculous way. Although they were excited and followed after Jesus, at least with some degree of faith, they also had the audacity to challenge Jesus. Why won't you back up what you say with a miracle? Well, he had just performed a miracle, a great miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 men, and yet they wanted more. People are never satisfied. They are always seeking after another sign. And they even tried to play one-upmanship with our Lord. They said, well, Moses provided a whole nation with manna from heaven for a period of 40 years. Jesus was quick to inform them that God's mark, his seal of approval, his ownership had been placed on him. Jesus dispelled their delusion that Moses was the one who gave them the manna from heaven. He said it was God who provided the Israelites with manna, which was only a type of God's true bread from heaven, which was Jesus Christ himself. The manna provided only temporary satisfaction from their physical emptiness. Through Jesus, they could receive the bread of life, which would fill them and quench their spiritual thirst forever. Jesus said, I am the living bread, which comes down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. What a wonderful statement. He was declaring to them that the bread of life was right there in their midst. And all they had to do was partake of it or partake of him. He was the salvation. He would feed their souls. There was an enterprising young man who had a lemonade stand on a hot summer day, and he had a sign which read, "All you can drink for a dime." A man paid him a dime and drank a cup of the lemonade, and then he asked for a second cup. And the boy asked the man for another dime. And the man reminded the boy about his sign. The boy replied, "Mister, that is all you can drink for a dime." There are a lot of people who are offering gimmick religions today. But Jesus offers the real thing. When you truly seek Jesus, you won't bask in a shallow, feel-good about yourself religion. Now, when you seek Jesus, you will feel good about yourself. But that is not your ultimate goal. The church, in reality, is not a benevolent organization. But when we seek Jesus, we will give freely and generously to people who are in need. The church is not a social organization. But when we seek Jesus, we will truly enjoy the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will seek to bring others into that fellowship. The church is not really a school, but when we seek Jesus, we will gladly teach other people about him. The church is not some ethereal feeling. But when we seek Jesus, we can't help but feel excited and emotional. When you seek Jesus, you will live as he did. You will love as he did. You will submit yourself to God as he did. And you will sacrifice yourself, even as he did. When you seek Jesus, you must have no hidden agendas. You must have no selfish motives. But you must believe in him and submit to him and follow him with all of your being, because you love the Son of God, the bread of life, which God sent from heaven. There may be some in our audience this morning who are seeking Jesus, and he's easy to find. And we hope and pray that it will be your judgment this morning to become a Christian, to be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, to live a life for Christ faithfully and true to his word. If there's anyone here this morning who needs the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ to live more closely to him, to be forgiven of the sins that you have committed, we hope and pray that you will respond to the invitation that Jesus gives to you this morning while we stand and while we sing.